Hello. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from just south of Yakima, Washington, on the Yakima Indian Reservation. And it is summer. Supposed to hit almost 100 today, about 98, 99, 100, they're saying. So it's supposed to be the perhaps break a record or two for this time of year for us, but it's been a long time. When I was a kid, I remember days like this up near 100, but I haven't seen them since the 60s, 50s, 60s in there. And so, of course, we've got cycles. Everybody's talks about global warming. Well, we know that the Earth, two-thirds of the Earth's heat comes from inside the Earth. So it's, and one-third from the sun, approximately, according to the scientist. And so we get warmer and warmer sometimes, and sometimes cooler. But the Earth as a whole is gradually cooling off. And but on the surface, we might be getting warmer from time to time. Well, it's great to be with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And when I say the Lord, I mean our Creator, our God Almighty, and who made heavens and earth. And we have been going through the book of Matthew. And last week I was not with you, and I think they ran one from the archives. And this morning I've been out busy trying to do a little bit of yard work and other things. And so I think we, before we begin, or as we begin, I just want to share a few scriptures with you. I picked up a little small sheet from our church. Has so many different ministries. We it's not a large church, but it is large for today. It wouldn't be counted as a large church, but would have been counted as a large church maybe 20 years ago. We are approximately getting up around 1,000 members or so, and it's really what I've heard. One person that I respect is that he says evidence of a real healthy church is that if you go there, you see everybody, all different areas of society, of every different type of profession or lack thereof. As far as people that have been incarcerated or had what we would say some lower jobs, some of doctors and lawyers, but every level, that's what's a real healthy church. When you see all races there and you see people worshiping together and praising God, and then lots of people don't enter into praise because, I mean, it's totally new. And that's also a sign of a healthy church, is that there's lots of people that have never been to church before in their lives. And so they're looking for answers in their lives. They're looking for things that will change their heart, that change their life, that they've come to this place of looking for answers. And that's what, when I go to the correctional institutions and spend a bunch of time in those, that's what I see. I used to go to the missions, and that's a great place to go too. I went to the missions for over 20 years. But I found something different though at the what we might call jails or correctional institutions, in that the difference is quite often in the missions, there's people, well, it's sort of changed over the years, but it was people that were basically homeless, and also that there was this despair and of life. Well, and now I've heard that since I am not so heavily involved in the missions anymore, in fact, not very much at all, is that even now you have the majority is naturally that, but then also there are many people that might have had a position that we would call a position in our society, but that devastation, or especially like Katrina, could have hit, or things as far as just bankruptcy, because there are lots of bankruptcies. Our whole economy encourages going out and taking a loan for this, and taking a loan for that, and taking a loan for something else. And the loans pile up, and it comes to the place that if one little bad thing happens, then everything can't be met. And so we have been being encouraged to follow a path that is not as really biblically sound, and it's of course by people in the marketplace that we keep getting all these messages over TV from day to day, and it's encouraging us to put ourselves first in many instances, and to go for everything we can get, and we need, for true happiness and satisfaction, we need to look to our Creator, what He says, who we are, and what we were created for. And we see, as I've mentioned many times before, that we are to be to the praise of His glory. And over and over we see that we were created to do the will of God and to establish His kingdom. We're supposed to pray, even in what is often called the Lord's Prayer, where we pray for Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. So we're looking forward to the establishment of God's kingdom, but this isn't something far off in the future. It's a matter of His kingdom is here. It's being established in individual lives. My question to you, is it being established in your life? Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Is God Almighty? Are you being faithful to Him, to seek Him with all your heart? As the Word of God declares, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So it's everything that's within you that you want to be in love with the One who created you. And rather than us going off on our own and trying to establish something for ourselves. Now, I live on the West Coast, and the West Coast is all Washington, Oregon, and California is known, and Alaska, also known for their great independence. And independent mind and being not wanting to be dependent on anybody. And we see there is good and bad about that in the scriptures. And you see the matter of not being dependent on anybody else as far as that you're taking basically credit for yourself of what you do. But we are dependent upon others, and most of all, we're dependent upon the grace and the love and the mercy of God Almighty. And so, just to start today, I just want to read, as I was mentioning at the beginning, there's many different groups that happen to be in our church. Like one of them is called the Healing Rooms, and it is a offshoot off of the ministry of 100 years ago. As John G. Lake, President Theodore Roosevelt, sent out a letter to Spokane, Washington, declaring, "You're the healthiest city in the United States." Well, why did he do that? Why did an official document from the White House come out and declare that? Well, it's because John G. Lake developed what was called the healing rooms. And in a three-year period of time, at the beginning of the last century, there was over 100,000 documented supernatural healings within that three-year time, that, and these were documented by, as far as medical personnel as well, that the people would come and they would be spoken the word of God over, and they would be encouraged to come back for up to about a month. And just on a daily basis, some people would come just once, sometimes a week in a row, several days in a row, or clear up to about a month. And just by the speaking the word of God over these people, these conditions most of them, so many of them were incurable, were cured. Why? Because the word of God, just like the word of God is what created heaven and earth, it has power in the word. So God's word is powerful, and it's supernatural. So when we speak God's words, and we speak them over and over again, not repetitiously, but from our heart, and speaking them out in faith in God, and what his word says is true, and when we trust him, it's not the matter of repeating something, some chant, like some religion. No, this is because of relationship with God Almighty and speaking his words, that's how this 100,000 people were healed. Well, a strange thing happened about 10 years ago. I'm not sure of the date or anything, so I may be way off. It might have been plus or minus 2 or 3 years. But a person also remembered this and was called by God to go up from California up to Spokane, Washington again, and to start these healing rooms again. And this place in Yakima that was started in our church was either the second or third place after that first one that was also started. Within just a couple years from that time, there's 300 or 200 to 300 around the United States and other places in the world. I mean, just spread so rapidly. And so what we see is not, we don't see miracles every time. Many times we don't. But there is this matter of God's intervention. And as we get closer to God, both the people that are being the counselors and the people that are being taught the word of God in private meetings with them, then they are strengthened in that. And it allows God's miraculous power to flow into their bodies as well as other situations in their lives. So this, what I'm going to read to you just happens to be one sheet of paper, and I probably won't read the whole thing, but it's just basically scriptures. And why would I read scriptures? Because the Bible says, even about angels, that they do nothing. They do absolutely nothing except by the word of God. Well, it doesn't matter whether the word of God is coming out of his mouth or it's just being spoken by those that trust and believe in him. Because those that trust and believe in Jesus Christ are called the bride of Christ and part of the body of Christ. And because of that because of relationship, it's not just because of the words, but because of relationship, who's saying them, is that the angels then can be employed. You see, we understand from Scripture that even that little children all have angels. As far as adults, we do not know absolutely one way or not. But we do know that those that are believers in God do have ministering spirits or ministering angels that will be with us. Now, these angels are basically, much of the time, unemployed in our behalf because of our words. The Bible says, by our words we will be justified, and by our words we will be condemned. Well, I don't, we better be careful of what we say then. We better start speaking more and more of what it says in the Word of God, and therefore we will be justified by what we say. So let me read to you just a few of these scriptures. And you see, these scriptures, you might even, I would encourage you to write down them, as far as, maybe you can't write down everything they said, but just as far as the, I will give the place in the Bible that it happens to be located, the book. See, the Bible as a whole has 66 individual books or letters inside of it, and I will admit the first one I'll mention is Proverbs. So the book of Proverbs, you just put down either the word proverb or P-R-O-V or something like that as an abbreviation. And then several years ago, this was not at biblical times, they added numbers or numerical markings. They broke things up as far as put in two different divisions of letters. They put in what they called chapters. So they would be the first chapter, second chapter, third chapter. And then they'd break up the chapter into verses. And the reason for that is so that if somebody is talking or writing to somebody else, they can mention a certain, the book is already mentioned, but then they can mention a certain chapter and a verse so that that person can go immediately to that or at a later date, so they don't have to remember the entire reading. They can try to remember the substance, maybe a word or two, but you see, by this, they can actually go, and if they have a Bible available, they can go find that Bible and by the book and then the chapter and the verse, go and find what reference was used. See, this is what Paul, the apostle, commended a certain group of people. They were called Bereans. And the Bereans were commended because they were checking out every night everything he said. So he'd speak to them during the day, and then they would go home and check it out to see if what he said was true. So what they would do, he would be preaching to them, and they would go and find the scriptures and check out from the scrolls or from the whatever parchments or whatever that the Word of God was written on for them. And they would go in their synagogues or wherever they would have them at the time. You have to remember that when Paul was preaching, that the Word of God was only with mainly the Jews. So if the Gentiles, which means all the rest of us, wanted to find out what the Word of God said, we basically had to go to a synagogue or get copies of their scriptures. And the Bereans were such that they went and checked what Paul was saying. They went to see if those things that he was saying were true. Did the prophets truly say that? Did the law truly say that? Did the histories and the wisdom portions of the Bible truly say what he said? And so Paul was commending them, that he was saying basically that you are good. That's good to not trust me just on my word alone, as I am new and fresh in the Lord, but that as far as you are new and fresh in the Lord, that you should go and check that those things that I've said are truly true. And so that's exactly what they did. They went and checked those things. And so that's why I'm giving this to you as well, so that not only that you can check it, but that you can find that in your Bible and then mark it. If you've got a Bible that is so holy that you don't mark it with either a pencil or a pen or highlighters, then you need to go get a Bible that can be practically used and that you can mark up. Because it's not, the Bible is not holy in and of itself. It's just a book with written pages. It's those words on those pages when they become alive in your heart. That's what is holy. And so we want to, you see, that's the living word of God. In fact, God even uses two separate words in the Greek for the word of God. One is logos and one is rhema. And the logos is the written word of God. Rhema is the live, active, spoken word of God. Now, the rhema became the logos when it was written down. But then the rhema for individual people can be from the logos, which is the written word. And what will happen is the Holy Spirit quickens a certain part of that word to you. And it makes such an impression to you that you just know it's for you in your heart. And so God, by the Holy Spirit, has taken the logos and taken it and made it alive, which is a rhema word to you. Now, God can also speak differently, that he doesn't have to always speak just by the written word. He can speak to you directly as well. But what he speaks to you directly has to agree with the written word. If it doesn't, you know it came from a different source. In other words, it did not come from God. In fact, Paul even said if anybody preached to you a gospel different than this, even if myself, talking about, just as he said, himself, or an angel, or anybody else come to you, even an angel come to you and preach to you a gospel other than this, let him be accursed, or let him be condemned or damned. It was that critical a thing. And yet, sometimes in this world, there's all these new revelations, and that's fine, as long as they agree with the Word of God, because then they can be judged by the Word of God. However, when they come in contradiction to the Word, we need to be very careful, because we know that they're according to the Word, that we are not supposed to accept something that is not in agreement with it. That's not saying not to accept anything, as far as just we can learn a lot of facts, but as far as from here to our eternity and our relationship with God Almighty, it has been made very clear. So we begin with one of them here, as I was saying, was Proverbs, and it's chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. So if you had a paper and pencil, you just might mark some of these down. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." And you see, we can just read verses like that, and they sound good, but when we reread them, we can meditate on them. And we see that God wants us, what does he say there? He says, be attentive. Listen and look at what I have said. Incline your ear to what I have said. Pay attention to my words. Do not let them depart from your eyes. In other words, just like we feed daily, we don't go for weeks on end without food. So God is saying to you and to me is that don't go with your days without looking at my word. Take your eyes. Don't let the words of God depart from your eyes. Don't let the sayings of God depart from your ears. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So, you see, lots of things we can get in our mind, but they don't do anything there except they happen to be in our mind. when we understand the heart, the heart's a little bit different, because the heart is what we, is our core beliefs. You see, we can believe a lot of things in our mind, but it may not change one iota or one little tidbit of what, how we live our lives. However, if they are in our hearts, then it has affected our lives and how we move and change our lives. And so it says, keep them in the midst of your heart, and for they are life to those who find them. So God is saying, declaring to you that my words, that God's words, are life to you. And we know that as far as spiritually, but he's saying that also physically, and health to all their flesh. And so this is why the word of God, like in the healing rooms, and people go there and get ministered to, and they are prayed for, but then they're also ministered to it by the words of God. That's why those words can be health to their flesh and can turn around and attack diseases. These are not chemicals or anything else, but it's words. The word of God can do that. Now, I'm not against as far as medical science, even though medical science, so much of the time, they find in nature what will heal, but they won't tell anybody about it because they can't make money off of it. So they go and take that that they find that cures, and they take it into the lab and spend sometimes 7 years or so, something like that, trying to find a way to synthesize it so that they can make a human compound that they can then patent and make money off of. And they won't ever tell people that the natural way, which is so much cheaper. And the natural way is usually doesn't have side effects. But the ones that they get in their labs, because they're man-made, usually do have side effects that are harmful. Not always, but most of the time, as far as from what I have read and listened to by doctors, that they have said that that's the problem, is that doctors that are turning away from lots of the, as far as prescriptions, they still prescribe until they can find for themselves things that work. And then they, the ones that, as far as they, is there's always this tension between that and okay, what can I be sued for? Because we are in a sue-happy world. And what can I legitimately tell them if they stick to the bad stuff, the medical stuff that is created by man that will take care of the problem, even though it will create new problems, they can be protected. But if they tell them other things that haven't been approved by the FDA, and of course the FDA hasn't approved the common things, the common healing areas, because nobody's spent the billions of dollars for those things to make them technically okay. And yet those natural things, of course, many of them are far superior. So, but here, the word of God itself is acts as a medicine. And the, it gives, is, it declares here in the word of God that it gives health to all their flesh. That was Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. Psalms 107:20, it says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. God sent his word. God's word is what healed them. That it's God's word that delivered them from their destructions. You see, that's where we grab hold of the word of God. Sometimes the doctors give up on you. But don't end with the doctors. Go to the, you know, the Bible calls, as far as the Jesus, who is Jesus? He's called the great physician. And then you start looking at everybody else in medicine. It says they're practicing medicine. Well, that's right. There's one who is the great physician's physician, and then the doctors that we have in our society, many of them are wonderful people, and they certainly have laid down their life either for serving people or for money or for both. And so there's many wonderful doctors out there that they are still practicing medicine, but there's one great physician. And so I am not certainly not against physicians, for they are God has given them to us as a blessing as a whole. So, but we should look to the great physician first of all. John 15:7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Well, my goodness, if we start using the words and we have relationship with God, then that can be applied to our body as well. As I remind you, this comes from a group called the Healing Room. So what they do is you go there and they will pray for you, but they will also give you the Word of God and speak the Word of God to you. And then quite often out at the entrance where you come in, they'll have various sheets of paper or whatever with what the Word of God says on the subject, so that you are relying on His Word. And so you put your trust in Him because He is the giver of life. And lots of us may have death in our bodies. I mean, all of us really do. What we know from science is that all of us have cancer cells in our body. It's only when they get to the few billion that they become detectable, and that after we've got several billion in our body and they've multiplied like that, then they finally is detectable, and we can go and get CAT scans and C scans and other different tests, and they can finally tell that, okay, you've got cancer in your body. But all of us, according to scientists anyway, physicians, as far as they know, everybody has cancer cells in us. It's a matter of whether they are routinely by our own immune system being killed off, and so they never get too great in number, and they're always being destroyed by that immune system, or they've gotten to a place that they are beginning to get in a rampage and beginning to take over. And so that's when they are detected. And so we need the Word of God in us, along with as far as sound knowledge, as far as things like, here's a simple thing. They've come out in this last year with two, and I just heard this week, a third test as far as a cancer. The cheapest thing you can probably take is called vitamin D3. And it's, according to these tests, for different types of cancer. Some of these tests were just on one type of cancer. The other two, as far as I know, were on a great multiple of cancers. But like D3 reduces the rate of cancer in people by 50 to 70%. Well, that's far higher than anything else. There's so many things else out there that will reduce your cancer rate by 20, 30%. But vitamin D3, which is very, very little, inexpensive, talk about 3 to 4, 5,000 milligrams a day, reducing your rate by that much, and that's maybe 30, 40 cents a day. And if that, maybe I've seen it a good quality as low as 12 cents for that much. And so it's amazing that, you see, the Word of God, we need to have the Word of God, but he also says, my own people perish for a lack of knowledge. And so we want to be knowledgeable about what he has already provided in nature, and just by the vitamins that that are natural that we can have that will bless us, just as the Word of God also greatly increases that blessing. Psalms, well, let's put Romans 10:17. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you ask, well, how can I have faith to be healed? How can I have faith to do other things in my life? Well, what does it say here? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's a matter of getting the Word of God in us and getting it in and in and in and in. And it's not faith in faith. That's not what helps. It's faith in God. It's realizing His great love for us, and He has says that he has given to each man and woman a measure of faith, to each child a measure of faith. And what do we do with it? Some of us use it negatively, and that faith is called doubt. So we doubt everything. We have faith in our doubts rather than faith in God. And therefore, it's all turned around negative, and we're using it negatively, and our worst fears will come upon us because we are fearful and having this negative faith, and it draws and sucks in negative things to you rather than what God had intended for it, to draw in blessings and glory and honor and health in all your body. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the Bible says that tells us in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So renewing of the mind, yes, because all the time we're being conformed by the world. So we have to take countermeasures to all that intake that we're getting that is not from God. See, the world out there on television and TV has many things, and in the workplace and even in your own and my own mind, that are corrupt, and they are not according to the Word of God. And when we meditate on those things, it is not beneficial to us. So God wants us to benefit. He wants us to be blessed and to be strengthened. In Psalms 119:89, it says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. In other words, his word doesn't change. He doesn't say, well, maybe this day. No, I don't feel like that today. That was yesterday I felt that way. So God's word is settled. It's not like man that might be shifting from one day to another. The word of God is settled in heaven. In Psalms 119:105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so that's something that we need. We need a lamp sometimes to see what way we need to place our feet, and a light to my path, and we need to be guided. Now, here again, there's four of these verses. They're all from one psalm. It's called Psalm 119. And about, of all the psalms, about probably about two-thirds of the psalms, is 150 psalms, the book of Psalms, about 150. And about two-thirds of those were written by King David. And others were written by other people, some by Solomon. One was written by Moses. Many by the heads of the worship of the tabernacle around the time of David and Solomon. But here's another scripture from Psalm 119. And it's in verse 107. I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. So when we are afflicted, we can go ahead and say, yes, we're afflicted to God, but we call out to him And then saying, according to your own word, revive me. Revive me, God, according to your word. Psalms 119:130, it says, the entrance of your words gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Well, my goodness, some of us, the Bible encourages and tells us that we cannot enter the kingdom of God without coming as children. Now, we're not supposed to be simple-minded, but we are supposed to be, as far as simple in a way of humility and freshness and acceptance, not doubting everything and being skeptical of everybody and everything. No, it's coming fresh as a child and coming with the excitement of life. And here it says, the entrance of your words gives life and gives understanding to the simple. In other words, this is where we find knowledge, we find understanding, and then we also find wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? I always thought wisdom was just being wise, as far as knowing what to do. But now, over the last, especially the last 10 years, I've come to a different belief in that. The Proverbs is filled with the words knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And I may be incorrect and might be wrong because I haven't really seen anybody explain it this way. But to me, knowledge is just what it says, gaining lots of knowledge. But knowledgeable people, sometimes they're real brains, what you might call brainy, but it doesn't show in their life, in their actions. They have a whole lot of head knowledge, but for some reason it hasn't done them any good. Then there's understanding, and that's having that knowledge, and then beginning to know how to apply it to your life. But to me, wisdom is not being wise and knowing what to do. To me, wisdom means doing it. And that's what I want to be. I want to be a wise person that doesn't know just what to do. I think that's more what understanding is. I think a person isn't wise until it's applied in their lives. That they are actually applying what they know and what they now understand from that knowledge. And then wisdom is truly being able and actually doing what is right. And you see, the wisdom brings forth the fruit. And it brings forth the fruit of the knowledge and the understanding. Because then it hasn't been in vain. That knowledge has not been in vain. The understanding has not been in vain, because the wisdom brings it forth and is the fruit and the abundance and the blessing, because it's manifested. That's the word, really. Manifestation. It's a matter that we can see it and hear it and taste it. There's effects in our lives because it has become wisdom, because it has been done, and the fruits of the doing of it have started to come in. So, let us go on to another scripture here. It says, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus, it talks about the Word of God, says when he came into the world, he was full of truth and grace. He was full of grace and truth. And so if you want to know the truth, you need to know Jesus. I need to know Jesus. He didn't have a little bit. He didn't have truth. You see, he was full of it. He is love. He's not, didn't have love. If you want to know about love, you don't go and just try to figure out what love is. No, God is love. And when you speak of truth, that's who God is, that's who Jesus is. And the many, many, many times Jesus repeated over and over again that I do only those things which I see the Father do and the Father speak. And then even to his disciple Philip, he says, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. In other words, that if you've seen him, then you know what the Father, Heavenly God Almighty, is like. Because he's saying is that if you've seen me, actually you have seen the Father, because I do and speak those same things that the Father, the Creator of all. And actually God the Father created everything. The Bible clearly states it was created through Jesus Christ. All the is of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all involved in the creation. It came from the heart of God. Jesus Christ spoke it into existence, and the power of creation was through the Holy Spirit. Now, you see that in the beginning of the world, you see the Spirit hovering over the earth in the creation of it. And it was spoken into existence by Jesus Christ. Now, this may seem very strange to you, because maybe you came from a background that was all science. Well, science is gradually catching up. And it certainly hasn't in the school systems, but it has with many of the people that have PhDs and are turning to the place of maybe not accepting Jesus Christ, but so many of them, especially in certain areas, have turned and realized there's got to be a creator, because it's way beyond any realm of possibility. That even in the trillions and trillions and quadrillions of years, which is beyond the age of this universe, even by chance, there was not a chance for life to be created. Because from the time that they thought cells were such a simple thing, now they know that each cell has a motor very complicated within it, and they're not single cell simple things, but they are exceedingly complicated, and that would take a divine engineer to create, to cause them to even live and to continue living and to have the motor within them to keep them moving and eating and prospering and recreating. And so especially in the land of astronomy, astronomers is where there's been such a huge area. One of the PhDs that did not believe at all in any God, he said that there's been an amazing transformation. He said that there have been such a huge turnover ever since the Hubble telescope came into existence, was put up into space, is that from that time on, there was such a very small minority of probably less than 10% believed in any God. Now, he said that the majority now believes in a God, even though they may not believe in Jesus Christ or anything. They realize that there is a divine, has to be some creative mind that created everything, because they realized, and the people in quantum physics and things, that the absolute chances of anything being created as far as by evolution are way beyond possibility for the age of the universe. The age of the universe would have to be millions and millions of times older for them to be for the chance to even occur. And so there's countless ones that, but you don't ever see it in the books, because the books are being, it's treated as a religion. It's a religion, evolution. It's a religion. And there are lots of religions in this world. There is what is called Christianity that is a religion, but then there's true Christianity that is a relationship with God. And those that are doing rituals and things like that, just like spinning prayer wheels in other countries in the Far East, and doing such things without a faith in God, it's only religion. But there are a huge number of Christians now that they have a heart and a soul after God. They love God. They know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, my question to you is that you are a wonderful person. You're fantastic. God has created you fantastically. You're listening to BBS radio, and my question to you is, yes, there's only two kind of people. There's those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. My question to you is, which one are you? That's right. There's only two kind of people in this world. Those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. And if you can't say, I'm saved, from your heart and know that, then I ask you to repeat this after me. That's right. Just repeat it after me. Actually, speak it out your mouth loud enough that you, even if it be a whisper, loud enough so your ears can hear it. Say this: Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. My question to you right now is, where is Jesus right now? If you prayed that, and then you prayed it from your heart, what did you just ask? You asked Father to forgive your sins, and then you asked Jesus to come into your heart. And if, according to the Word of God, that how are we saved? We are saved by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. And if you just ask Jesus to come into your heart, then when I ask you, where is Jesus right now? That's what you are able to say. He's in my heart. And then you also said, make me the kind of person you want me to be. In other words, you're saying to your Creator, you're saying to God Almighty, you made me for a purpose. And I want you to make me just the kind of person you want me to be. And then you say, thank you for saving me. See that God loves you. God greatly loves you. And He desires the best for you. And He wants the Word of God, as we've been going over just a little bit, the Word of God to come into you and to me and each person and get us connected back to Him. There wouldn't be this strife in this world at all if we were all in line with Him. And so the Word of God, we mentioned in Psalms 119, the entrance of your Word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. In John, it says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the Word of our God stands forever, ever. Matthew 4:4, but He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. 2 Peter 1:4, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Romans 4:20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore, know that the Lord our God, your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it. Hebrews 6:12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit promises. Matthew 22:29, and Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So we don't want to be those that are mistaken, do we? We want to know the scriptures. You see, that's what we are. We are mistaken if we don't know the scriptures. If we don't know the word of God, as Jesus says, we are mistaken, and we don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. So God wants us to know his word. And just as it says in the Hebrews, it said to imitate those through faith and patience inherit promises. We see if many people have heard that there's a chapter called the love chapter in the Bible, and there's also one called the faith chapter. Well, if you want to just write these down and find where those are, and I'd encourage you to read both of those. The love chapter happened to be in 1 Corinthians, and that's chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, if you write that down, that's called the love chapter in the Bible. And the faith chapter is Hebrews, and that's chapter 11. And I would... we've only covered... less than one-third the scriptures that were on this page here. But you see, the Word of God is beneficial, and it gives life to those that read it and those that meditate on the Word of God, and it gets past their just the reading once of into their head, but gets down into their heart. It gives life and health to the body. See, the Word of God declares that he wants us to be in health and prosper, even as our soul prospers. So his desire is that your soul prosper, that you also prosper in your body and also in your finances. That's his love for you. It's a total package. That's God. He loves you, and he wants to give you the total package. In other words, you get it when you get him. So I hope you've prayed that prayer with me, that you've asked the Father to forgive you sins, you've asked Jesus to come into your heart, and you've asked the Holy Spirit to make you and me the kind of person that you want to be, not what you want to be, but that he wants you to be. And then we always need to end, and that's where we need to begin, in praise. Remember the Lord's Prayer that he taught the disciples to pray. It began in... as far as the beginning of it was, Our Father which art in heaven, Holy, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's beginning with praise and glory and honor to God the Father and his name in heaven. And it ends and it says, as far as praying and saying that your kingdom, as far as in the book of Matthew, it, when we come to there, it's in the chapter 6. And in chapter 6, we see it, and it says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So it begins and ends with praise, and that's where we should begin and end our day and our lifetime as well. That it be beginning in the morning with praise to God, and then before you go to bed at night, to say, yours is the kingdom, O God, and the power and the glory forever, and I praise you, and I give you praise. Amen. Well, this is Dr. Don Kellen, and I've been coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation in South Central Washington State, and I just pray for you that in Jesus' name, may the power of God be powerful and alive in your body and in your mind and in your strength and renew your strength, and that the Holy Spirit come in you in such a way that you fulfill your purpose in the earth, that you seek after him diligently, and he says that he is a rewarder of those who seek him diligently. So, let us all do that. Seek the Lord God Almighty diligently, that he may reward you and me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.